are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hopefully you were able to enjoy a relaxing three-day weekend and a great start to your week. It's already Wednesday. It's already hump day, so you're basically halfway there by the time you're listening to this. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. Today we're kicking off another network-wide initiative. We're calling this one the Time Machine, focusing on a few specific years that happen to be round-numbered years in Timberwolves history. This is, again, network-wide, so every Locked On NBA, and actually all networks within Locked On are focusing on a Time Machine initiative right now. And so for us, for the Timberwolves, we're going to go 1990, 95, 2000, and a few other years in there. So today we're going to cover 1990, go all the way back to 1990, touch on a few fun facts from that period of time. Before we get there, I do want to discuss briefly a few of the recent developments regarding the possibility of a resumption to the NBA season still this summer, and whether or not that might include the Wolves. First, before we do that, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Okay, the news of the weekend and the first part of this week is that the NBA is certainly moving closer towards having some sort of a season in a bubble, if you will, in Orlando, most likely, in the Disney complex down there. That's many, many square miles, and there's plenty of room for everybody that would be involved in an NBA resumption. The NHL on Tuesday actually announced that if they resume, they have not yet set dates for resuming, but they're going to have a 2014 playoff and skip the rest of the regular season. The NBA is, it seems like, unlikely to do that. There's been a few different reports out there. There's some conflicting thoughts on whether this is only 16 playoff teams that will suit up and play, or whether all 30 teams will play, attempting to get to that 70-game minimum for regional network revenue split. That wasn't mentioned a whole lot over the weekend, so I wanted to bring that up again. Basically, what happened over the weekend, what's being talked about now in the media, is the possibility of simply just going to the playoffs, or having the 16 playoff teams, the 16 teams who would be in the playoffs if they started today, play a few games to get to that 70 number ish. And then, you know, maybe there's some exhibitions, maybe these regular season games, quote unquote, regular season games, well, I guess they would literally count as regular season games, could serve as kind of a lead into playoffs. And then the other 14 teams wouldn't play. The initial conversation sure sounded like all of the teams would play because of that 70 game, largely because of that 70 game threshold that we've talked about before on this podcast. Basically, each team needs to play 70 games in order for the revenue sharing to kick in for regional sports networks, to then that triggers the payment then to the teams and to the league. So it's in the league's best interest to play 70 games for each team. It's in each team's best interest to play 70 games. At the same time, there's teams like, for instance, Damian Lillard came out, I think on Tuesday, and said that he would not play if they were not in a position to make any sort of a postseason tournament. He would not suit up and play. No doubt the Timberwolves are probably one of those teams that are just fine kind of letting this season expire. They've got a couple of guys in Karl-Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, who have had varying levels of injury over the past few months. They're looking ahead to next year. There would be no incentive. I mean, what if they come back, play five games? What if they win all five with a healthy D'Lo and a healthy Cat? And then suddenly they're no longer one of the three teams with a 14% chance at the number one pick. What if they slide to, you know, the fifth worst team in the league and still don't make the playoffs? So unless there's a longer lead in and maybe a larger tournament similar to the NHL, in which case, even if like the Wolves are one of the bottom three teams in the league, right? So in order to get into a tournament, they need to expand it to everybody or play a significantly higher number of games than four, five, or six. The Wolves so far this year have played 64 games. So they would need to play six to get to that 70 game minimum to have the regional network revenue split to qualify for that. So more likely than not, the Timberwolves are not going to be included in this. There's been some personality who's spoken out regarding the possibility of teams playing who who wouldn't be in playoff contention. Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN wrote a piece over the weekend that said as much, that these teams are concerned with losing their draft lottery odds and risking injury. And so at this point, it's pretty unclear what this would mean, because the league would then have to sign off on not getting those teams to 70 games. So who knows if the league also has to consider, what if they let these teams play and then a team like Portland has Lillard sit, or a team like Minnesota has both Russell and Towns sit? What happens next? What does that do to the integrity of the game, to the brand of the NBA, to each of these teams? Does that suffer? So I think it's my personal take on this is that there is some sort of resumption. There's been some dates floated out there. Bill Simmons from The Ringer put out there on Tuesday that they're looking to resume the season by July 25th is the date that he'd heard. And then basically the finals would finish the third week of September and the draft would be the following week. And the season would kick off on Christmas in 2000, at the end of this season. The following season, what should be then be the 2020 to 21 season, would kick off on Christmas 2020. So there are some dates being thrown out there, and there's clearly a lot of things that can change. There's a lot that's fluid. I guess the other thing that's of note is that the NBA Players Association was spending the last couple of days calling each team individually and speaking with their players, with the entire roster on Zoom calls, essentially, and talking to them about what's next and what this is going to look like. So each team is being filled in on this, on these calls. So, and this is the NBPA executive director, Michelle Roberts, that's doing this, and passing this communication along to each player, each roster. So we'll get some more clarity here in the coming weeks, I would think, if there is going to be a resumption, and if this calendar of resuming by July 25th is going to be followed. There's got to be some sort of lead into that. So I would think in the next 2 to 3 weeks, there's going to be some sort of closure. There's been plenty of other things that have been canceled, called off. The Big Three, Ice Cube's league, is saying they're not going to play at all this season. They're going to push everything basically to the winter. So things are going to have to kind of get ironed out here pretty quickly, but that's the most recent on that. Certainly interesting to see as these different leagues kind of decide, you know, who's going to make that first move. The NHL kind of did, but then they followed it up by saying that they're not putting a timeline and actually resuming play. So they backed off fairly quickly, and baseball hasn't come to any decisions yet either, although that could come in the next few days, is what it certainly sounds like. All right, so next up, we're going to talk all things 1990 Minnesota Timberwolves. Before we do that, I wanted to mention our good friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It's a protein bar that tastes exactly like a candy bar. Talked about it a lot already in this podcast. My personal favorite, the chocolate almond coconut, is amazing. My wife tells me I did decide to share the fantastic gift that the folks at Built Bar shared with me. I shared one of the bars with my wife, the peanut butter brownie, and that so far is her favorite. And it's just the perfect snack if you're looking for something to get you from one meal to the other without actually eating a candy bar or anything else that's not good for you. Built Bars come in 16 amazing flavors. There's 8 chocolate nut flavors, 8 chocolate nut-free flavors. They're covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight, maintain weight, while still indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are all low calorie, low sugar, high protein and high fiber. The flavor profile of the peanut butter brownie has 170 calories, 20 grams of protein, 7 grams of fiber, only 3 grams of sugar, and 7 grams of fat. And again, tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Let's go back in time to the year 1990. It's a perfect year for Timberwolves fans to look back at. Obviously, it's the second part of the inaugural Wolves season, the 89-90 campaign. But just the year 1990 in general, I think we need to go back and look at some of the highlights from that year. The number one song from the year 1990 is "Smells Like Teen Spirit" by Nirvana. Vogue by Madonna was also a number one song that year. Number one movies: Goodfellas, Pretty Women, Home Alone, Ghost. This was the debut of The Simpsons. I guess technically it debuted in December of 89, but this was the first full season of The Simpsons. A dozen eggs was a dollar. Gallon of regular gas, $1.16. Of course, the president was George H.W. Bush. It was a different world back in 1990, and the Minnesota Timberwolves were in their inaugural season as an NBA basketball team. The most notable thing about that first season, other than, of course, it being the first season of the Wolves franchise was that the team played in the Metrodome and was able to set an attendance record and also a then single game record as well, which has since been broken. In fact, that Timberwolves team in 89-90 held two of the seven largest single game NBA crowds throughout history. The number seven game on that list of the seven largest crowds in NBA history, I'm reading this at amicohoops.com, was Wolves Magic, April 13th, 1990. And that drew 45,450 people. The fourth largest crowd in NBA history was Wolves Nuggets in April of 1990, 49,551. Looks like these are the last couple games of that season in the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. Of course, there's been a few games since then that have surpassed it. And actually, the number one game, I thought this was interesting, in attendance in NBA history was actually the, or I should say regular season game, because I think there was an all-star game, the one at Jerry World in Dallas that recently surpassed this. But Bulls Hawks, this is Michael Jordan's final game as part of that Last Dance Bulls team in 97-98 at the Atlanta, the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, March 27, 1998, 62,046 people to see Jordan and the Bulls take on the Hawks as part of that Last Dance season in March of 98. But the number four and seven games in NBA history related to single game attendance are Minnesota Timberwolves games. The Timberwolves set the all-time NBA regular season attendance record that year by drawing 1,072,572 fans. It surpassed the previous mark of about 8,000 less fans, a little over 8,000 less fans that the Pistons drew while they played in the Pontiac Silverdome in 87-88. The final average home attendance for the Wolves that year, 26,160. And the final home contest of the season was that Wolves Nuggets game where they drew 49,551. This Timberwolves team, as far as expansion teams go, I think it's notable that they actually weren't all that bad. You look at the other teams around that era that were expansion teams. The Wolves that year were co-expansion teams with the Orlando Magic. The Magic won 18 games. They went 18-64. The Timberwolves went 22-60, so they won four more games than the Magic. The prior season, as part of that grouping of four expansion teams, the Wolves and Magic were started to play in 89. In 88, the Miami Heat and Charlotte Hornets started play. Miami won 15 games in their first season and actually only 18 in their second season, which was the Wolves' first season. Charlotte won 20 in their first year, 19 in their second year. So they won less in each of their first 2 years than the Wolves did in their first season. The Magic went from 18 wins to 31 the following year. And then in the mid-90s, the expansion year with the Toronto Raptors and at the time Vancouver Grizzlies, the Raptors won just 21 games. In 95-96, the Grizzlies won only 15 games and followed that with a 14-win season the following year. So the Timberwolves of that grouping of all six of those expansion teams, and I understand that this is maybe really not something to completely brag about, but as far as expansion teams go, they had the best winning percentage of any of that group of six teams from the late 80s into the mid-90s, winning 22 games in their inaugural season. And looking at that roster, it was bad, obviously. They won just 22 games. But grand scheme of things, as far as expansion teams go, not all that bad. Taking a look at some of the best players on that team, you're talking about, obviously, Tony Campbell led the team in scoring, scored 23.2 points per game. He wasn't all that efficient, didn't shoot threes. Nobody really shot very many threes back then. But some of the best players on this team, fairly deep. This was a team that had the under-the-radar pickup in Sam Mitchell, who ended up having a long career, one of the best players in Wolves history, or at least most consistent and longest-tenured players in Timberwolves history. Ty Corbin was very good, played in 82 games for this team. Todd Murphy played in 82 games, was kind of a role player who did a really good job. Pooh Richardson, one of the top probably five or six point guards in Wolves history at this point, maybe four or five behind the likes of Ricky Rubio, Sam Cassell. I guess you could argue about, D'Angelo Russell's only played in 12 games in a Timberwolves uniform. Steph Marbury, depending on what you think about him, but Pooh Richardson's in there and was just recently passed by Rubio for assists by a point guard in Timberwolves history. But that was a big year for Pooh Richardson, his rookie season. Already mentioned Tony Campbell. Sidney Lowe played on this team as well. The future longtime assistant coach was a role player for this team. But this was Pooh Richardson came into the league as the 10th overall pick by this Timberwolves team and went on to have three solid seasons in Minnesota, started all 82 games in all three of his seasons. I'm sorry, played in 82 games all three seasons, only started about half the games his rookie year, but was a fantastic player. Over his Minnesota career, Pooh Richardson averaged 15 points, 8 assists in those three seasons. And again, never missed a game. Tony Campbell, again, a big-time scorer. Ty Corbin, a well-rounded player. And there was enough talent between a couple of the young guys and then some of the veterans on this team that it wasn't awful. The following year, this Wolves team actually improved from 22 wins to 29 under coach Bill Musselman. Also an assistant coach at the time, Tom Thibodeau. I'm sure everybody back when the Wolves hired Tibbs to be their head coach just a few years ago and president of basketball operations, there was a picture that circulated of Tom Thibodeau and his mullet in his Minnesota Timberwolves, the throwback, the tracksuit, I guess, windsuit with the Shep logo on the chest. So he was absolutely a part of this team as an assistant head coach, got his start in the NBA with the Minnesota Timberwolves back in 1989, 1990. So those are the high level, kind of the high level look at this team back in 89, 90. I wanted to hit on a couple of the most interesting box scores from that year here coming up next. Before we do that, a quick note about our friends at Blinkist. Let me tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read, but never had time to. I like Blinkist because 15 minutes is the perfect amount of time to really do anything. If you're going to go on a quick 15-minute walk at lunchtime, on your break, maybe on your commute, bringing the kids to or from daycare or school, it's the perfect amount of time to knock out any book, again, that you've always meant to read, but have never had time to, or any sort of book that's going to explain a skill or anything that you've been looking to pick up. It's super efficient, and I can't recommend it enough. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. You also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, as we continue looking at the 1989-1990 Timberwolves, thought it would be fun to cherry pick a couple of box scores from wins, some of the milestone wins from this team, and just kind of look at some of the players on both the Wolves and then the team that they played against, and what some of those box scores look like. The first win in Minnesota Timberwolves franchise history came against the Philadelphia 76ers in, it was only the fifth game of that season. The fourth game. So they were 0-3. They had lost two games on the road, lost the home opener to the Bulls. Talk about a home opener, a franchise home opener to play against Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Jordan dropped 45 points, 15-24 shooting, 6 rebounds, played 40 minutes in a 96-84 Bulls win. And again, this is the home opener, the first ever home game for the Minnesota Timberwolves franchise. And for the Timberwolves, Tony Campbell had 31 points, 10 rebounds. Todd Murphy had 9 points, 10 rebounds. Ty Corbin had 10 points, 7 rebounds. Off the bench, Pooh Richardson had 11 points. Scott Roth had 12 points off the bench. The next time out for the Wolves was also a home game, two nights later against Charles Barkley's Philadelphia 76ers. The Timberwolves won this game by 7, 125-118 for the first win in franchise history. And Charles Barkley, this was an overtime win. Barkley played 46 minutes, had 31-8. Johnny Dawkins had 16-12 for 16 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds for the Sixers. For the Wolves, Ty Corbin dropped 36 points, 13 rebounds. Tony Campbell had 38 points. There were only two other Timberwolves players in double figures. Scott Roth had 20 points, 7 rebounds off the bench in only 29 minutes. Todd Murphy had 14 points. Pooh Richardson again came off the bench, only played 12 minutes and was scoreless. Sam Mitchell also came off the bench, played exactly 12 minutes, had just 4 points. And this was the first win in Minnesota Timberwolves history. The second win in Timberwolves history was only 2 games later, also at home against the Golden State Warriors. And at that point, the Timberwolves were 2-4. This, by the way, the 76ers team that they beat for the first win in Wolves history, this was a 76ers team that went on to win 53 games. They were 53-29. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round and took the Bulls, lost in 5 games to the Bulls in the semifinals, the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But this was a 53-win Sixers team that the Wolves beat. And then they beat a 37-win Golden State team, which of course didn't make the playoffs, but coached by Don Nelson. And the Wolves at that point were 2-4. Then their next win came against, or I should say their first road win, wasn't for quite some time later. They lost 7 in a row after beating the Warriors. And then in the middle of a 5-game road trip, the Wolves beat the Miami Heat at Miami. And this was the second year in Miami Heat history. Their first season, remember, they won just 15 games. Second season, they ended up winning just 18. And this was the first road win in Timberwolves history. You look at that Miami Heat roster, and there are about 2 names of guys that had long, successful careers in the NBA on that entire roster. Glenn Rice being first and foremost. He was a rookie on this Heat team. Grant Long also, this was his second year in the league. Notably on that team, I guess kind of notably, Dave Wohl was an assistant coach for this Miami Heat team. He ended up being an assistant under Kurt Rambis during the famed David Kahn-led Kurt Rambis years. But Dave Wohl was an assistant on that team, on that staff as well. So this Timberwolves team, then that was their first road win against the Miami Heat. They actually won 3 out of 4. They then beat the Cleveland Cavaliers just a few nights later, came back home and beat the Nets that year. And so at that stage, they were 5-12, which again, not a horrible start for a expansion team. But then they went out and lost 9 straight, shades, I guess, of the 2019-20 Timberwolves. They also had another 9-game losing streak later in that season. Their longest winning streak was 4 in a row in the middle of February, kind of right after the All-Star break there. They won 4 in a row all at home. And again, remember, this team was drawing incredibly at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. The Target Center wasn't completed until the following year. Some of their other wins that year, they did beat the expansion Orlando Magic. This was their first season in the league as well. And they beat a couple of other playoff teams, but mostly they were beating some of the other worst teams in the league. But some of these box scores are just a lot of fun. The final win of the year against the Orlando Magic, the Wolves actually won by 15 in that game. The Magic had Scott Skiles and Reggie Theus, both future NBA coaches, in their starting lineup. Theus, of course, was an assistant with the Timberwolves. They had Nick Anderson off the bench early in his career. By this point, Pooh Richardson's starting. He ended up starting 48 of the 82 games that year for the Wolves. He scored 26, had 12 assists. Ty Corbin had another monster game. He just keeps popping up with these huge games. 36 points, 19 rebounds, 6 assists in this game in 47 minutes. He played 47 of the 48 minutes. Pooh Richardson played all 48 minutes in this game. The Wolves only played 3 players off the bench, so 7 total guys appeared in this game for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Sam Mitchell played 24 minutes, had 10 and 7 off the bench, and Scott Roth and Sidney Lowe each played a single minute. Tony Campbell had 27 points as a starter as well. And that was the final win of the season. By this point, Randy Brewer, he's the starting center on this team. Of course, the Minnesota native who played at the University of Minnesota started his career with the Bucks and then ended up in Minnesota during that inaugural season and played roughly 2.5 seasons with the Timberwolves as a part-time starter. But this was when he was starting for this team. And the Wolves got their 22nd and final win of the season and finished the year on a 5-game losing streak, which included those massive home crowds. This win over the Magic was right before the 2 huge crowds that they drew against Utah and Denver. On the sliding scale of expansion franchises, the Timberwolves were pretty successful in their first year, and following that up with 29 wins in their second year is no slouch. Of course, things then went downhill the following season. 91-92 was just 15 wins under Jimmy Rogers, who took over for Bill Musselman after the 1990-91 season. That team was, I guess, miserable would be the easiest way to put it, was not anywhere near as good as the two teams under Musselman. But we're going to fast forward through some of these, the super lean years, the basically the 91 through 94-ish. And then we're going to pop back in with 1995 in our next episode of the week, which will come up here on Thursday. We're going to talk about the 95 season. We're going to talk about everything that happened in 1995. And that means we're going to talk about the start of the career of Kevin Garnett and his arrival in Minnesota, everything that surrounded that, Flip Saunders, Kevin McHale, a lot happier of a year. Actually, 90 and 95 are not too bad years to talk about. The year 2000 is maybe a little bit less exciting, but we'll find something to talk about on Friday related to that as we kind of move through history and look at some of the best years, at least some of the round numbered years in Minnesota Timberwolves history. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Remember, we'll be back on Thursday with a conversation about the year 1995, including the draft, the season, and everything else that comes along with it. Otherwise, that wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. A final special thanks to our friends at Built Bar for bringing us today's episode. Visit builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.